The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
Well, I wonder if this weekend's NFL games are going to be more analyzed because we are getting closer and closer to sort of that positioning that we like to do in the playoffs, sort of getting the idea of who's who and where actually are these teams as we head down the stretch run in the end of November and into December towards a playoff push. There are some pretenders and contenders, and I'm using that terminology. You look at some of the outcomes yesterday, and do they tell us anything? I live outside of Nashville. The Tennessee Titans were 2-0 after the bye week, and they looked really good. And then all of a sudden, Marcus Mariota gets hurt, and they can't score again, and now we're back to disbelieving this in the football team. But then in Atlanta, the Dallas Cowboys are now 5-5, and all of a sudden, they're only a game behind Washington in the NFC East. They beat the Falcons, and here's a Falcons team that made the playoffs last year that is now 4-6 and doesn't look like they're going back. We're starting to get an idea just by the outcomes and now what are the records and now who's what and what happened this weekend as to where teams actually are as we head down to the stretch run. We're going to break down a lot of these games today that happened yesterday and look ahead to the Monday night matchup between the Chiefs and the Rams. We've been saying this leading up to this game. I mean, it didn't take long before to realize what the NFL was going to have on this Monday night. Yes, it would have been nice if it was in Mexico City as sort of an international game, but you know, it didn't work out. So it's going to be at Memorial Coliseum. But these teams are 9-1. This is one of the most anticipated Monday night games I can remember. And we've had some good Monday night games. Don't get me wrong. I mean, we've had some really, really great Monday night games. But this one has got that feeling like at the beginning of the season where we realized, man, the Rams are really good and the Chiefs are really good. And not only that, they're really fun to watch and they've got these offenses that are explosive. This is what you're going to get tonight. And I don't think this game is going to disappoint. You know, I'm one of those people that always sort of cautions against overhype and hyperbole and all of that. But I think, and again, if I was a betting man, a lot of my money would be on, I think this game is going to live up to the hype. I don't think one team is going to fail to show up and it's just going to be a blowout or anything like that. I think both of these teams are good. Both of these teams are ready to play, and both of these teams will break it down for you. All right, we got games coming up, and we'll talk more about the Dallas win, the Steelers win, the Chargers loss, all of it coming up next.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, glad you can be with us here on SB Nation AM. We're rolling through the NFL Sunday, week 11. I'm losing track now. You know, the beginning of the season was so easy. It's like, it's week three. Oh, it's week four. Ah, it's now all bundled together for me now. It's week 11. So the Cowboys win, the Steelers hold on, the Colts have won four in a row, the Chargers lost. Ugh. I was really pulling for San Diego to do this, like, 12-2 kind of record where no one's talking about them. And, oh, by the way, the Saints won their ninth in a row. Can you believe this is a team that lost to Tampa Bay in week one?
Did they win?
Nobody's standing a chance. I mean, nobody wants to play. Nobody can play up to the Saints level. Nobody. I mean, nobody. I didn't even think the Eagles would. The Eagles are banged up and can't run the ball anymore.
I have no secondary against
nobody can play.
No secondary against a team that can just pass at will.
No secondary. So I didn't think the Eagles were going to put up a fight, but. You know what? I think I might have actually said at the last week that I thought the Eagles in the Saints game would be closer than you think. I was completely dead wrong about that. How shame on me. It was 24-7 at halftime. And you know what's funny? The Saints, like a good college football team, just kept pouring it on in the second half. Like, nah, we're not done. We're just going to keep rolling along. But we're going to run up the score.
It wasn't like they were trying to pour it on.
They just kept scoring. It's what they do. That's it. They can't stop. They can't stop scoring. It's incredible. I mean, it's just, and they got a defense to boot. So they picked off Carson Wentz three times. The Eagles. Oh my goodness. We're right, right? The Eagles won the Super Bowl last year, right? That wasn't a mistake.
I think so.
I didn't dream that. So the Saints are 9-1, man. 9-1. San Diego lost. They had a 6-game win streak going on, and then Denver Broncos beat them. And that I know. But I got a question. Phillip Rivers, he spiked a ball on third down instead of like taking a knee to run off some clock. I know hindsight's always 20/20 because the Broncos ended up marching down the field and kicking a field goal. But that seemed very un-Phillip Rivers like to do something like that. He saw that there was a mistake in play calling, that the Broncos had coverage, and he spiked the ball instead of just going, okay, I'm not going to throw it. I'll just kneel or run around a little bit, eat off some clock. So Phillip Rivers usually doesn't make those kind of mistakes. And the Broncos win the game on a field goal by Brandon McManus. How many game-winning field goals did we have yesterday? Three? Dallas won on a field goal. The Raiders won on a field goal. Broncos won on a field goal. And Ben Roethlisberger scored on a touchdown. Touchdown sneak in the final seconds. So the Steelers were, I was sweating that game out like you would not believe.
That one was weird.
The Steelers, this is what I don't, I've warned people about this all last week. And I know the Jacksonville Jaguars look terrible. Blake Bortles is not a good quarterback, but for whatever reason, this Jacksonville team gives the Steelers fits. The Steelers have won games like this against Jacksonville in the past where they just don't play very well and they have to pull out something. Even when Jacksonville wasn't very good and nobody, I mean, like really weren't very good. And they would play them occasionally and they would, you know, they would just, Steelers would just struggle and just, they wouldn't find a rhythm. And that's always been the case. And since, and last year's playoff loss was exactly that. A Jacksonville team that was a lot better, obviously, because they made the postseason, but defensively was good, kept running it. They kept converting third downs, and Bortles was actually pretty decent. In this game, Bortles wasn't really decent. They just run the ball a lot, and they ran the ball and ran the ball and ran the ball. I think they ran the ball the first 25 times they had 25 plays of the game, and the Steelers didn't do anything. Ben Roethlisberger is getting picked. Jalen Ramsey is making interceptions. He's getting picked in the end zone. And then in the second half, it's like the switch clicked. The Steelers go on. They score 14 unanswered points. Ben Roethlisberger gets it into the end zone. As time expired, they win the game. But Jacksonville has nobody but themselves to blame. They don't have their quarterback is terrible. And they know it. They know their quarterback is terrible. If your game plan with your quarterback is let him do as minimal damage as possible and let's just run the ball until we can't run the ball anymore and then pray to the football gods that somehow we can complete a forward pass. That's not a good way of winning a game. I don't care who you are. But Jacksonville almost pulled this out doing it that way because the Steelers kept making mistakes. It's a weird trap game for them. I mean, again, I'm not talking about last year's Jacksonville team that was decent. I'm talking about previous Jacksonville teams that were not very good. Steelers just get stuck in the mud. Win a game, but win it ugly. You know, that kind of feeling. And that's this game. I mean, look, think about last week. They play Carolina on a Thursday night, right? Both teams are pretty decent, and the Steelers rout them. And then they go to Jacksonville and play a Jaguars team that's just have lost five in a row, lost a playoff identity, not a very good quarterback, and they struggle and can't score. And then they finally put some numbers on the board late in order to win the game. So it's just, that's just this crazy league. Andrew Luck and the Colts routed the Titans yesterday, 38-10. Now, listen, I don't know what Frank Reich and Andrew Luck's relationship is, but apparently it's very good. Luck is now on fire again. 297 yards yesterday, three touchdowns. This offense is clicking. This team started 1-5, 1-5, and now they're 5-5. They've won four in a row, and they're a game behind, two games behind Houston in the AFC South. Now, I don't know if the Colts make the postseason or not. Unlikely. I don't know. We'll see. But never, it's whatever switch clicked with them, and Frank Reich and Andrew Luck, it's now working. And good for them, too, because Andrew Luck is great. I mean, he's great. Him being out of the league last year stunk. It stunk for that division, stunk for football. I'm glad he's back, and I'm glad he's healthy, and I'm glad he's playing well. Speaking of the Texans, they win over the Redskins, but that really wasn't the story. You see that leg injury by Alex Smith?
Yes.
That was brutal, man. Those make me cringe. Like they make me just shiver. I don't like those.
It probably did the same to you, and the guy actually tweeted about it, Joe Theismann.
Yeah.
He immediately says, like, yeah, you know, kind of looks, that one looks familiar to me.
Yeah. Well, I always remember, because when I was a young lad when that occurred, and I remember when it went down and he got hurt, I remember Lawrence Taylor, like, immediately jumped up and was, like, screaming to get somebody out of the field.
Yeah, that was,
like, he knew immediately, like, I did something. Like, this guy's leg is in pieces. And it had that same kind of feeling, like, man, this is bad. This is bad. Get the cart out here. Now Alex Smith is done for the year. So, but it could be done for a while. Those kind of injuries are hard to come from. He broke two bones in his leg. My God, was he hit by a tractor trailer? I mean, my God. But yeah, that was brutal. I mean, I just hate injuries like that. Redskins dropped to 6-4, but the Texans have now won, what, 7 in a row? Is there 7-3? They're 7-3. The Texans are now one of the elite teams in the AFC now.
Right, and here's the question I was having.
Who thought that?
Are we giving the Redskins enough credit?
The Redskins?
Yeah.
For being 6-4?
I mean, I'm still under the fence that I don't think it's a good team.
No, I don't. I think it's a team with a winning record that happens to be leading a bad division.
I mean, that's what it is, right? I mean,
right, that's what it
we're
is.
Not, there's no smoke and mirrors. Like, you know, this is a team that, you know, can make noise in the playoffs. I'm not saying there's no way they can make it. I mean, they'll right now, because it's such a terrible division, they're going to be in the playoffs. They're one and done, right? They have to be.
Most of their wins this year have come against teams that have struggled. I mean, are struggling. I mean, they played the Giants. They beat them. They beat Arizona. They beat Dallas when Dallas wasn't playing particularly well. They beat the Buccaneers. I mean, they lost to the good teams. They lost to the Saints. They lost to the Colts. They lost to, I mean, so, yeah, no, I believe that I believe that completely. They're a very inconsistent team that's kind of banged up, but now they're really banged up with Alex Smith down. But, no, I agree with you. I don't think this is a, yeah, that's weird. Numbers are weird when it comes to standings because, I mean, the Redskins coming into the game were 6-3. Loss puts them in 6-4. I mean, like, look, I mean, we wouldn't be jumping up and down if they were 5-5, and they're only a game off being 5-5, right? So, no, I'm with you on that. But, you know, so, I mean they lost to the Falcons.
You know, we have it's the resurgence of Adrian Peterson, which I think is awesome.
No, that's one of the better stories of the year, right? I mean, so far, that's one of the better stories.
But now, I mean, now you look at it, it's like, all right, well, Colt McCoy is in charge of the offense. And I like Colt, but, you know, I don't even think he's ever been really seen as a second tier quarterback.
No. Remember, the Redskins were the team that gave up the 500 yards to Tampa Bay. Remember, it was last week? Remember, they were the ones that gave up the 500 yards to Tampa Bay, and Tampa Bay had three points, because they missed field goals and turned the ball over. So, I mean, this team will give up yardage. Joe Flacco maybe taking a rest for a while on that injured hip. Lamar Jackson. By the way, if you're Baltimore, can I just make this out here? If you're Baltimore, you can't have Lamar Jackson running 27 times in the NFL, right? Are we all on the same page, or can they?
Hey, that was college.
Are we all on the same page?
That was college right there.
All right? I mean, the National Football League will eat you alive if you keep up that game plan. If that's your plan for Lamar Jackson, it's you better enjoy it while it lasts, because you're going to be starting RG3 pretty soon, if that's the case. Lamar Jackson can't run 27 times in a game, you know, playing the quarterback position.
Lamar Jackson, if you're going to be starting RG3 soon, maybe just have him run like 22 times.
Right. I mean, exactly. I mean, if you want him to be your quarterback, he can play quarterback. He doesn't have to be your running quarterback. He can throw the ball. He can throw the ball pretty good. Like, he was not a one-trick pony at Louisville, for crying out loud. He wasn't a quarterback that was like, I don't know, Lamar Jackson just had 222 yards rushing. I mean, he could throw the ball a bit. So, but you know what? I'll get back to this. I want to get back to this thought process. This seems to always happen. Doesn't you feel like there's like a football karma? Whenever a team drafts a quarterback in the first round, just is like, oh no, he's going to be like the backup. He's going to be grooming. Something always happens to the starter, and then he gets to take over the job. Right? I mean, it just feels like that storyline has been written time and time again in this league. When will we get to start the rookie? I don't know. Not yet. And then the starter, oh, I don't feel very well. I got an injured foot. There you go. Bye. See you later. And now the rookie gets to play. Raiders win. My God, I wanted to pick on them today so badly, but I got to hold off. All right, 800-777-2907 is the telephone number. All right, coming up next, the Browns made some news for a weird Browns reason, but it may not be the weird Browns reason that they made the news. That's coming up next on SB Nation AM.
Guys, the holidays are quickly approaching. Don't wait until the last minute to get a gift. Head over to giftingmap.com today. Giftingmap.com. This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And thanks for joining us this morning, SB Nation AM, and happy Thanksgiving week as we have arrived this holiday week. Be safe out there where you're traveling in the next couple of days. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts on Black Friday and be one of the first 25 customers to make a purchase. You'll receive a free limited edition O'Reilly Auto Parts hat. Plus, check out the 5-day sale from November 23rd to November 27th. Mark your calendars now. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. All right, so this was the weird story of the weekend. You know, the NFL just didn't have games, folks. The Browns reportedly, by Adam Schefter, said that they were wanted to interview Condoleezza Rice for their head coaching position, the former Secretary of State under George Bush. She's also part of the College Football Playoff Committee. So this was a report that came out, and then the Browns denied the report. Now, first of all, Adam Schefter is a good reporter. He didn't make this up. This came from somewhere. I mean, he didn't just throw this out there to see if it would stick. He doesn't do that. So the Browns denied that they were interested in interviewing Condoleezza Rice, which makes sense because last time I checked her resume, she doesn't seem to have any football experience.
Are you kidding me? She has loads of football experience.
She was with the Giants as a quarterback scout.
When she was a high-ranking official in Washington. Maybe she knows about the football.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe that's it, right?
Or maybe the Browns are confused, thinking like, "Oh, she has a lot of experience with the football." They still call it that, right?
Nah, that's a good question. I don't know if they still call it that. They may have upgraded the technology from we were younger, fighting the Soviet Union in war games. They might have changed the terminology on us.
Maybe, you know, maybe it's just the Browns' way of satisfying the Rooney Rule.
Yeah, right. Okay, you're right. The Rooney Rule. Condoleezza Rice, though. I mean, she does know football. She's on the playoff committee. I mean, but I don't know if she can coach. Can she coach?
Why not?
I don't understand. Why not? Better than anybody else the Browns have ever ran through there. Here's the problem, though. Does she want a job for like 6 months? Because that's basically what you get when you're with the Browns, you know, and you're working with the Browns.
Well, I'll take a job
for
six months.
Year or two. That's pretty much it. There's a statement from John Dorsey, says former Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice is a great leader, possesses the highest possible character, and also happens to be a Browns fan. Oh, these make great qualities to be a head coach. I have the utmost respect and admiration for all she's accomplished and was honored to meet her for the first time earlier this season. Our coaching search will be thorough and deliberate, but we are still in the process of composing a list of candidates, and Secretary Rice has not been discussed. So my question is, where did this come from? Where did this come from? Adam Schefter doesn't make this stuff up. Why would he do this? Unless somebody in the Browns organization tipped him off and was playing a game. But even if they were playing a game, he's not likely to fall for something like that. That's not the way he rolls. I mean, he's not going to just take a... Like, imagine if you're covering a team, right? Like the Texans, right? So you're covering the Texans. And you hear through the grapevine that they want to interview Carrot Top to be the head coach. Would you report it as like, well, they I don't know, he's a great comedian and he's got a lot of cool props, but they're interested in... No, you'd probably go, what? I gotta double check that. Carrot Top? You're not going to interview Carrot Top. You'd check it out with other people. So when you first hear, here's a great lady, great woman, great accomplished woman. I think she's also a member at Augusta National too. And somebody says, well, we're interested in interviewing her to be the head coach of the Browns. If you're Adam Schefter, you don't go, oh, a woman with no football experience whatsoever being interviewed by the Browns? Oh, I'll just run with that immediately. Yeah, let me just put that on Twitter right now. He's going to double check that. He's going to double, triple check that. That's the kind of reporter he is. Listen, I remember when I first got to Denver, he was covering the Broncos. I learned a lot. Because you'd go to these press conferences, and he was working for the Denver Post at the time before he, you know, became what he is now. And he asked really good questions. He was well respected even back then. He's a good reporter. He's not a talking head that makes up stuff just to see if it sticks. He's a good reporter. He got this from more than one person. He got this from something. They may be denying it now, but somehow this he got this by enough sources to run with it. Listen, and here's the deal. I get it. When you're in this kind of media world now, it's crazy. It is just unbelievable how you've got to get it first so quickly. And sometimes you kind of skip steps into good reporting. And the way it is if you get, let's say you get a hit that a coach is getting fired, right? So you get the information. That's what your source is telling you. You want to double and possibly triple confirm that before you run with it. And so you do some diligence, you try to get a secondary source for it. It might take a little bit of time. You're a little nervous because by that time word could leak out to the other people, you know, that you're competing against and their sources. So you try to get it as quickly as possible. And in this day and age where to be first is better than to be right sometimes, then you run into the risk of just saying, you know what, I'll post it and see where it goes. But I don't think this is the case. This is one of those, huh? Kind of stories that would make me think that Adam Schefter, who again, I respect and like, is doing his due diligence to make sure he's double and triple checking that. Because like I mentioned, I mean, take any situation and throw an absurd situation, you know, it's like what if the Browns had said, we're going to interview Drew Carey, Price is Right's Drew Carey, because he's from Cleveland to be the Browns head coach. Wouldn't
There's
you
passion.
Go? Right. Yeah. His passion.
But I think he would make a better soccer coach at this point because I think he follows soccer much closer than football.
Right. But, you know, now, you get my point. My point is that Condoleezza Rice is a Browns fan. That has nothing to do with her ability to coach football. This seems like, of course, this is a dumb story. Of course, this is no merit. But Adam Schefter is reporting on it. It's got to have somebody must have had this conversation in the Browns office.
Okay, but, you know, but are we really looking at the analytics? Because I know the Browns are all about the analytics. I mean, maybe she does know a little something. I mean, I'm looking at her Wikipedia page. She got her bachelor's from the University of Denver, which, you know, is not really a football powerhouse.
No, they don't even have a football team.
Exactly. But she did get her master's at Notre Dame.
All right.
So
well,
there's a little football knowledge there. She did teach for a while at Stanford.
Okay, so when did she teach at Stanford? What year? Did she say?
In 2009, and before 2000. Oh, she
so
was.
Who was there in 2009? Dave Shaw still, or was it? Yeah.
So I mean, you know, there was some noise going on. So how do we know?
I don't. Maybe she – no, Jim Harbaugh, I think, was there in 2009.
See, there we go. So she learned from Jim Harbaugh.
I mean, I can't remember when he went to San Francisco. So, well, maybe so. Maybe so. But still –
she can break down the X's and O's.
Yeah. I don't know. It just seemed like a – like it made me that was one of those stories where – look, if you had attached it, I hate to say this, but if you had attached it to any other team, it would immediately been laughed at. But because it came from Cleveland, it was like, well, it's got some merit to it.
Yeah, it kind of makes some sense.
I can see them doing that. Like if Green Bay parts ways with Mike McCarthy and they said, you know, famous Wisconsin celebrity is interviewing for the Packers job, you'd laugh hysterically.
Why can't we come up with Laverne and Shirley?
They were gonna
co-coach Squiggy with each other.
Squiggy was gonna be coaching the Green Bay Packers. You'd laugh hysterically. Consolisa Rice, you're like, oh, I could see it happening. I could see the Browns wanting to interview her. Yeah, and I saw this today too. It was another good point. Just because it says interview doesn't mean hire. So there could have been something more there.
Back to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Glad you could be with us, SB Nation AM. As again, we're rolling through on a Monday morning, week 11 in the National Football League. So the Dallas Cowboys are now 5-5. You want to talk about teams I don't really buy yet? I still don't buy the Cowboys, but boy, you know what? When push came to shove, they got it done in the fourth quarter. They scored 16 points. They were held to 2 field goals in the first 3 quarters of the game and then scored touchdowns by Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott. They beat the struggling Falcons, who right now have no, I don't think, any chance of making the playoffs. I mean, they may run the table, but they just don't look like a team that would run the table. And the Cowboys are now 5-5. And when you look at the division, the Eagles right now are a mess. The Giants are no good. And the Redskins have just lost Alex Smith. Dallas could be the team that wins that division. And this is just one of those grinding seasons for Dallas, right? Win, loss, win, loss. Look pretty good. Don't look good. Look pretty good. Nah, they stink. Lose 2 in a row. Lose to the Titans on Monday Night Football. Ugh, egads at home. Go on the road and beat the Eagles and the Falcons. Look, the Falcons are a team, to me, that was not good because defensively they were struggling. I mean, they got Deion Jones back, but they've lost a number of players. But still, Julio Jones leads the league in receiving. They don't run the ball particularly well, but they have a great aerial attack. They're still a very dangerous team, very potently dangerous team, and Dallas beat them. Dallas beat a struggling Eagles team. They'll face the Redskins coming up on Thanksgiving Day. And they could be tied for the lead when this is all said and done. So again, some of these teams that are blessed or using it in quotes here to be in divisions like the NFC East or in other divisions where, you know, just struggling a little bit, trying to make headway out of it. You know, you're the Dallas Cowboys. You're never quite out of it, even if you're struggling, if everybody else is. If you're the Atlanta Falcons, you aren't winning the NFC South. If you're Carolina, you're not winning the NFC South. The Saints are too good. If you're Seattle, you're not winning the NFC West. The Rams are too good. Chargers, the same thing. Well, the Chargers could win the division against Kansas. There's only 2 games out there. But there are too many good teams on top of divisions for you to make a run if you're 3 or 4 games back, but not in the East. The South, the Texans now running away with it a little bit at 7-3, but the Colts are coming on strong at 5-5. Tennessee, you know, took a step back with that loss, but the NFC East 6-4 is the leading is where the Redskins lead the division. So Dallas, you don't have to be world beaters. You don't have to have everything right. You just got to hang in there and figure it out and have it come together because you're in a division where 9-7 might win it. 10-6 will definitely win it. Are you kidding? So that's a good road win for the Cowboys. They win it on a last second field goal. That was 1 of 3 on the day. And again, Atlanta, a team that went to the playoffs last year, high expectations coming into this year, worked on that defense too, was trying to really get that defense squared away. And again, some injuries and some poor play, inability to run the ball. You know, injuries, of course, have played a huge factor. Devontae Freeman, et cetera, et cetera. But this was a Falcons team that took advantage of the Buccaneers, Giants, and Redskins in the middle of their season, and then, you know, just lost their last two games to sort of put them out. Tampa Bay losing to the Giants. Man, you know, this is crazy how quick this league will change on you. The Buccaneers were the toast of the NFL in September. And now Ryan Fitzpatrick. I'm glad, you know what? I'm glad he didn't trademark Fitzpatrick. What exactly would he have done with it if he had it? Remember at the beginning of the year? Oh, somebody else had it. It was Minka Fitzpatrick, I think, that had it. I was going to give it to him. What are you going to do with Fitzmagic when you throw three interceptions and get benched for the guy you replaced? You know, there's an old saying in football. If you have two quarterbacks, you have none. The Buccaneers have two quarterbacks, and they have none. Neither one of these guys want to be the starter of this football team. Jameis Winston takes over. He's got to give it up. Ryan Fitzpatrick gets it. Now he's going to give it up. And Winston is going to stink in his next couple of games. And then Fitzpatrick is going to get it back together.
I think.
And then Winston, whoever is standing at the end of the season against the Falcons, I guess, is going to be the quarterback going forward, I guess.
I think the only way the Buccaneers can be successful is they got to find a way for their defense to hold a team in the first half. So whatever quarterback they're starting can go ahead and just stink out there.
Yeah, cough it up.
Because the Buccaneers have showed over and over again, when they replace the quarterback mid-game, they're actually a really good football team.
Yeah, well.
I mean, they've done it a couple of times
now.
That's why.
I know.
I mean, when Fitzpatrick was, when we were trying to figure out, it's like, oh, should Fitzpatrick start? Should Winston start? When Winston came off suspension. Fitzpatrick was playing terrible. They bring in Winston. Winston almost brings him back.
Right.
And then the same thing happened again. Winston's doing terrible. Oh, we'll put in Fitzpatrick. Fitzpatrick almost brings him back. We got the same thing. Same storyline happened yesterday against a bad, bad Giants team. Against an aging Eli Manning, I mean, who shouldn't even be out on the field.
Yeah, they came and they scored, what, three touchdowns in the fourth quarter?
Yeah.
Make a comeback.
And, you know, bring Winston in the second half, and Winston looks like an NFL caliber quarterback. That's all I can say. It's an NFL caliber quarterback.
Exactly. You know, I want to say this about the Giants, because I agree with you about Eli Manning, and we've had our conversations about Eli, and they did win the game 38-35. But if you're a Giants fan, here's the deal: with Odell Beckham Jr. played good, Saquon Barkley looked amazing, had a fantastic game, had two touchdowns on the ground, caught one for. So if you're a Giants fan, you know that the team has to make a transition at quarterback. Now, that's the toughest part of the equation, right? Is to find the right quarterback. Because teams that have had star quarterbacks, Super Bowl caliber quarterbacks, when they go, they're hard to replace. And you don't go like Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers, right? Or Peyton Manning to Andrew Luck. That's very rare. You get a quarterback, struggles a bit, maybe their next one is actually better. But my point is that the Giants got a taste, just a little taste of what their future could look like with a young guy under center that can play the position well. Doesn't have to be an all-pro. He doesn't have to be a Hall of Famer. He just needs to play it well. With Barkley and Odell Beckham, you see an offense that can really... The problem is that what you saw against the Buccaneers is not something... Buccaneers give up points. That's what they do, right? They give up 33 points a game. So the Giants were going up against a team that does not play very good defense and does not give points. But the Giants defense came up with turnovers. The Giants offense, you know, with Saquon Barkley playing particularly well, that's a bright future. You just got to find the right guy under center. It may take a few years, but at least if you're a Giants fan, you know, hey, man, I've got some young guys in place at some other skilled positions. Got to make sure I get that quarterback. And otherwise, I think this could be a fun team. But that's down the road. That's not now. This team is still terrible. And the Buccaneers, man, I mean, they're just literally handing teams points. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy. But you're right. Fitzpatrick to Winston, back to Fitzpatrick, back to Winston, back and forth. Yeah, I mean, if you can figure out a way to control the game early, whoever quarterback comes in, he usually does pretty well. It's a mess for Dirk Cutter. I mean, he's got a mess. He's got a mess. Neither guy wants this job permanently, really? I mean, you're right. What are the odds next week that Winston is awful? I'm looking it up. Where they're playing the 49ers. What's the odds on favorite that Winston is terrible against the Niners next week?
Oh, I'd say very
even
high.
Money. Yeah. I mean,
here we go again. I mean, Winston will be terrible in the first half. Bring in Fitzpatrick. Fitzpatrick will almost bring the team back.
Yeah. Amazing. All right. Tonight's Monday Night Football game. I said this earlier in the hour, and I believe it. I think tonight's game is going to live up to the hype. I usually caution against it because, you know, stranger things have happened. I think this game lives up to the hype. I think it's going to be great.
I think it's going to be back and forth.
Yeah, you need the Rams to win. Yeah, you do. Keep your hopes alive for that division. It's still there.
Exactly.
So the Chargers yesterday, again, another screenshot I kept seeing from the stadium yesterday. God, that StubHub. They hadn't played there in a month. I didn't realize that. I totally forgot about that. They were on a bye, and they've been in Seattle.
They had their home game in London.
They had the home game in London.
Where they haven't been at that stadium. Fans.
Yeah, right. And they haven't been there in a month, and it showed. Bronco fans were there. Empty seats were there. Oh, this is such a bad look. It's a good football team.
Yeah, I mean, at least, you know, it wasn't a total orange out.
No, it was not. Not like a Raider
at least for that. But, you know, I felt that there were people there wearing Raider jerseys. I don't know
why.
Yeah,
were there?
I doubt it, but I just felt that way. It was like there's still no love for them. I mean,
none.
They are a homeless team.
But here's the deal. Going into the game, right? Here are the Chargers. They won six in a row coming into that game. Six in a row. They were at 7-2, they were one of the better teams in the NFL. And yet still, empty seats and visiting fans filled that stadium. So even playing well, right? Even having middle of the season, this is no joke. We're actually really good. We've got really exciting players. We're all playing pretty well. This isn't like being 2-0 to start the season. Oh, I wonder if they're good. This is really good. And there still didn't. There's not enough people in LA that went, you know what? I'm jumping on that train right now. That looks like a fun train to ride. Because maybe it's because the Rams are better and that's just the way it is. But the Chargers are no joke. I mean, look, this Broncos team is not a good football team. Keenan Allen said they sucked. And I kind of agree with him. This Bronco team is not very good. Okay? And but, you know, especially in division games, anything can happen. And the Chargers made a few mistakes and whatnot, but this is still a really good football team in Los Angeles. It's still a really good football team in the Chargers. I'd like to see them get more love. I'd like to see them get a little bit more attention because they can be a big thorn in somebody's side in the AFC. Because you look at the AFC, outside of Kansas City, no one else is running away with this division. I mean, this conference. And why not Los Angeles? Why not the Chargers? Right, so, you know, Texans are good, Steelers are good, Patriots are good. They're all division leaders. Kansas City is great, but nobody is the unbeatable juggernaut. I mean, the Chiefs maybe, but the Chargers can be a thorn in their side too with Phillip Rivers. You never know. The guy's done it before, and now he looks like he has a team where he can do it even more. Listen, the memories I have of Phillip Rivers, the one memory I have, you remember when he got hurt or was hurt in that Colts playoff game about 10, 11 years ago when he was going off to the locker room laughing at Colts fans? Like, I love that cockiness of that guy. I love it. I love it. Now he's got a really good team behind him. All right, 800-777-2907 is the telephone number. It's Tony D and Ron Culver as we continue to dive in the contenders and pretenders of Week 11 in the NFL.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, Blue Emu Lidocaine Cream and Maximum Arthritis Cream are both deep penetrating and, more importantly, odor free. Beat the pain two ways and live life. Blue Emu, it works fast so you won't stink, and available at nationwide retailers. All right, so you know what I got to do most of the day today is tell people all day today on Facebook that I got hacked. I am so sick of this. I hate it. If you receive a message from me that doesn't look normal, I got hacked. I don't know, some video, some picture is being sent around to all my contacts, and now you know what's really weird? I have gotten these before from my friends, and I look at it, and the first thing I think of is, this is not normal. This doesn't seem right. This person never contacts me for anything at all, never comments on anything. And you know what? Chances are it was a hack. I just figure it out on my own. And yet already, since it happened yesterday, I'm getting emails from people. What is this? What is this picture? I don't know what this is. I'm like, figure it out. Have I ever sent you anything via Messenger on Facebook? Never. Do I ever talk to you? Do I ever comment on your posts? Do I ever say anything? No. And then you get this weird picture for me and you're like, oh my God, I don't know what this could possibly be. When the easy answer is that it was hacked. Oh, I'm so frustrated. So
yeah, I'm a little bummed I didn't get one from you.
Well, good. I'm glad you didn't. I don't even know what the picture is. I mean, I don't even have the picture. It's not even a picture that I have any context with.
Wish I could tell you, but I guess I'm not a close enough friend.
Because people are stupid. No, maybe you just missed out. People are stupid. So I'm dumb. It's like it's an easy answer. When you see a weird picture for somebody or a weird mumbled text, and you go, I need an explanation. No, you don't need an explanation for this. It's obviously a hack. Ignore it. Give me a break. I'm not going to answer every single person that wants to. I woke up to this. I don't know. Stop it. Just cut it out. It's a hack. Figure it out, computer geeks out there. It's 2018. Stop pretending you don't know what this is. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I'm starting, when you said text message, I'm starting to get spam on my text messages now.
Yeah, I've gotten that too.
Now, where did this come from?
What world are we living in? I can't take it anymore. The computers are winning.
Well, we already knew
that
was going to
happen. It's the AI and their foreign language.
It's Facebook's fault. Remember, they created two AIs to talk to each other. Now look what's happening. You're getting random photos. We're getting random text messages.
The AI was like, you want to talk this way? No. You want to keep it quiet? Yeah. How about we make up our own language right now? Yeah, let's do that. Let's freak out the humans. And they did.
And I'm on some call number, like rotation or something, from a Chinese company. The entire message, every time they leave a message, is in Chinese.
Oh, wow.
So I'm like, don't they ever look at the name?
Yeah. What world are we living in? It's crazy. Again, the robots are winning. It's just a matter of time. So just move along and live comfortably. Coming up, we'll talk more about the NFL, but I want to get into college, a little surprise in Tuscaloosa, at least for 30 minutes. Next on SB Nation AM.